Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's time for our pre-opening commodity market report on AM 580. Here to do that is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Tom, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time on this Friday morning in Kansas City. July wheat opened at 5:89, up 4 1/4 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 5:41, up 4 1/2. December, 5:93, up 6 3/4 on the open. May corn opened at 3.97 1/2, up 1 1/2 on the open. July, 4.04, up 1/2. September, 4.14, up 1 1/2. December, 4.24 1/2, up 1 1/4. March of 2010, 4.35 3/4, up 1. July, 4.51, up 1/2. And December of 2010, 4.41, up 1/2. Make that up 3 3/4, rather, on the open. May beans opened at 10.72, up 2 on the open. July, 10.55, unchanged. November, 10.45 1/2, up 2. January of 2010, 9.48, up 1/2. March, 9.51, unchanged on the open. May soybean meal opened at 3.42, down 50 on the open. July, 3.30, down 50. May soybean oil opened at 36.25, up 3 on the open. July, 36.53, up 2. June live cattle opened at 82.35, down 15 on the open. May feeders, 98.35, down 22 1/2. May lean hogs, 58.70, up 60 on the open. The June contract opened at 65.60, up 117 1/2 on the open. And May belly, 74.50, down 42 1/2 on the open. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 81.32, down a few ticks under 36 points. The NASDAQ, 17.09, down 7 1/2. And the S&P 500 at 869 is down 0.13 points. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, what caught my eye, perhaps more than anything, as I was looking through all the charts this morning after the open, was in the Dow spot AIG. It actually gapped this morning. It looks like a 99-cent gap to the upside and pushed above both the 120-day moving averages. What does it mean?
Well, I think it kind of helps to kind of coordinate that, Dave, with the issue that the June dollar index is getting really, really close to testing and maybe going through its 200-day moving average here in the not-too-distant future. And the best thing you can say about this week, and it's a huge issue because you've got very good gains built up this week in the midst of this terrible flu and a terrible hog market, but the best thing that happened this week has been the ability of the dollar to stay weaker. And again, it goes back to that bond market. It goes back to the lower bond market taking yields higher. Interest rates in the real market are getting up to levels we haven't seen in many, many months. The 10-year is up above 3.1%. The 30-year has now breached 4%, almost 4.1% here. That suggests to us that maybe the trade is starting to think that with economic recovery comes inflation, and those inflationary expectations are starting to be built into the price of the bonds and now the price of the dollar. So what we'll watch here is to see if the Dow AIG index and the grain index especially moves on higher. If that dollar index breaks that 200-day moving average, then we start to really be on the hunt for, okay, now the market is starting to price in an inflationary type expectations in the coming months. They're trying to get ahead of the Federal Reserve, I think, at this point, because the Federal Reserve is going to have to come in and lop up and slop up all this excess liquidity once they give the green light that the economy is improving.
Well, could that grain subset of the Dow AIG be a leading indicator in that it has broken above its wedge formation?
We think it is, as long as it's complemented with some of these other major indicators like the dollar. And I think that's where you want the technical indicators all to work in conjunction with one another. Now, there's one missing link here, Dave, for us. You've got the dollar and the bonds promoting an inflationary look in terms of our analysis. Well, what's wrong with the gold? Why has it gone straight down this week when it's the best inflationary gauge, historically speaking, out there? And I think it goes back to, well, there's been so much safe haven buying in the gold that they just can't seem to find new buyers. Now, this should change because seasonally the physical demand for gold goes up. If the crude oil catches and starts to go up again, I think you probably have run the gamut as far as how much safe haven buying of gold and then those longs liquidating. That's all that should be worked through the market here. So we would want the gold along with the Dow AIG grains, along with the dollar, all to work in conjunction with one another.
Meanwhile, over in the wheat pit, we've had some action that we haven't seen for quite a while.
Wheat had its Wheaties today. I just got off the phone with the floor, and very, very light volume. The pit volume especially was extremely light, mostly computer-traded volume here, suggesting the funds were coming in. A second contact I got in contact with said that buy stops were triggered when the July went above the 550 level in the Chicago market. It's going to be interesting to see if we hold these gains or not, because there's not a lot out there of new news. And the heavy deliveries from yesterday of 8,000 contracts were followed up with 7,377 today. So not a lot of fundamentals you can hang your hat on. Maybe they're getting the trade's getting a little bit preemptive and doing some early short covering ahead of Monday's spring wheat planting progress. That's the only thing that I could throw and take a stab at for why the wheat is jumping so much.
There's a lot of spreading that's been going on, long beans, short wheat, long wheat, short corn, Chicago wheat, MPLS wheat, and so it's really kind of hard to get a handle on what's going on.
Very much so. A very good point, and it goes back to no one is quite sure how to trade these markets. No one really seems to have the confidence of being just an outright long in anything except maybe the July beans, and that was where, after that acreage report back from the end of March, it really gave a green light, along with the consistent dropping of Argentine production and the consistent buying of the Chinese of U.S. beans. That really gave the best green light of all to go ahead and buy into the bean market this last month and a half. But even there, we've got clients. I talked to one of my clients yesterday in western Tennessee near Memphis. He said, as soon as we can get back into the fields, we will be switching to beans in that area of the world. So you're looking at some pretty tremendous rainfall data in Kentucky and Tennessee the next 5 or 6 days. 6 to 7 inches of rain is what some of these models are projecting. If those come out, then we're going to have to start looking fundamentally at the November beans as, I think, more of a sell than a buy, or at least a lukewarm or neutral market as opposed to a bullish market.
And would the front-end beans still be a buy?
I think so. You know, we talked about that the pre-opening comments. There's no question that we need to cool the jets a little bit here in the July no bean spread after the last two-day rally, because we've just jumped from 80 cents to $1.15 to $1.20 in just a couple 3 days. So you're going to have some profit-taking and back and fill. But, you know, when you look at it fundamentally, if Argentina's production keeps falling and China keeps buying, and then you have this wet weather in the Tennessee River Valley, the central Corn Belt, southern Illinois, that's a big crapshoot right now as far as how much rains they're going to get. They could get anywhere from an inch to 4 inches, depending on which model you look at here over the next 8 days. All key areas where beans could be substituted very rapidly, because unlike the western Corn Belt, our basis in this part of the country and on east tends to be a lot better for beans. The western Corn Belt really gets smacked for bean basis, and that's why they, along with disease pressure, try and continue to plant more corn out there.
Well, if in the July composite chart we were to penetrate the January April highs with conviction, do you think it's worth a dollar to the upside, given that we would be measuring off in part the scare about the H1N1 virus?
I think that you're talking about July beans, right?
Yes.
I think that the fact that we got above the 200-day moving average in that July beans for the first time yesterday and again today, for the first time since September of last year, you do not want to put any kind of chain or leash on how high beans can go here. I think the best thing producers and hedgers and speculators, for that matter, can do is keep the fundamentals in mind. And so what we're trying to do for the hedgers is say, okay, get into these price targets of the 960, 970 level, let more new crop beans go, but immediately come back in and buy those July verticals, buy the dollar verticals in the July, like a 1060, 1160 bull call spread or an 1112, and kind of stack those on top of one another so that you can pull those off if you have theoretical profit, pull those off and you have some still in place. So I think that's the best and most clear way to hedge these beans, given what we have to go through these next 6 or 7 months in terms of economics and in terms of what will our demand base be.
What else are you looking at? We've got about 40 seconds.
Well, the corn market is the key today, too, Dave. We were able to get back up above that 405.5 level in July. That's always been a big issue to us. We broke a major nine-month trend line 2 days ago. We really want to see some carry-through and follow-through both today and Sunday night on the upside in the corn. With the December futures, our target still that 450 to 460 level to get some new hedges in place.
All right, then. We'll talk to you again this afternoon.
Okay, Dave. Thanks, and have a good day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. You can listen to our analysis on the website 24/7 at WILLAG.org. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. The time now is 10 o'clock Central Time.